And like, when do we this and that as far as, because we're not looking. I'm not, like, you can get, there's a lot of teaching out there, okay, that is very technical and very orchestrated. It's very textbook. And it gets complex. And all of a sudden, you embrace about 4, 5, 7, 10 reasons why God can't move, why people can't be healed. It gets real complex. I'm encouraging us back to simplicity, okay? It's the finished work of Christ. You don't find Jesus praying for people and saying, wow, I can't do this because you're holding on to your past. Or I can't do this because you have unforgiveness in your heart towards your Aunt Susie. Or, yeah, there's a generational sin that's forbidding me to work. You're in bondage, man. You're under a curse. That's pretty much what we do in the church. We tell people, it's generational, brother. So you actually leave them cursed. Come on, if you're going to tell somebody they're cursed, be strong enough in the spirit to get them free. Yeah. Come on. Yeah. So we're like, we've become diagnostic Christians.
Wow.
Like, we'll diagnose people. Well, you know, I think you're going through this, brother, because there's some things in your heart that God still needs to deal with. And we're in an altar ministry with a badge. Randy, we're like, well, listen, serious. This thing's serious. This is serious. It's so serious. Because it's true. But what I'm saying is, what have I just done for you? If you come up for prayer and I say, well, honey, I pray, and I go, oh boy, there ain't much moving here. Well, honey, you know, there's just some things that have your heart bothered up, and I'm just believing right now there's some issues, God. This is all God, and there's some things He's getting your attention in, and I'm talking real general, and I'm leaving her with a mysterious problem. Or worse yet, I think this is some generational curse. This thing is deep. It stems back maybe even third, fourth generation. And you're probably just, you know, so it's just something that I see that's, okay, now what? So now that I'm cursed and I'm next in line, what's up now? What do I do now? We're hurting people with this. We're talking spiritual without manifesting truth. It's spiritual, but it's not in line with truth. What I mean by, if Holy Spirit points it out, and Adam came up and asked some good questions on this topic, and he said, so how do you see, like at the altar, if I'm praying for people, this and that? I've prayed for people. And I've actually seen them at young ages and certain things happening. And I said, do you remember when you were like 5, did you have this and that? And they'll go, oh my God, yeah. And I'll say, well, listen, God just showed me that. I didn't ask to go there. It just popped up. And I thought, what is this? Now, listen, there's a way you've been thinking through that. And all of a sudden the answer will come. Oh my God. And it's just so powerful. It's just neat experiences like that. Now watch. Because Holy Spirit moves that way and it's so phenomenal, we think, wow, it would be a good idea that everybody needs this, and we turn what is a gift of the Spirit into a method of ministry. And that's why I said we're called to follow Him, not ask Him to follow us. We can take what's a gift from God. It's valid. The one I use one all the time. It was one of the first times I ever had the experience. That's why I use it all the time. The Lord showed me a boy, 12. He's a full-grown man sitting in my office with his wife, but he's 12 in my vision, and he's on the streets in New York. And he's crying, Mommy. Why? Because his mom, Hansel and Gretel'd him and dumped him. She's a heroin addict, dumped him in a crowd and slipped through the crowd, and he never saw her again. And the next time they found her, she was dead in an alley. So aunt and uncle took him in and raised him and kept his quiet to honor mom and never exploited the situation so he didn't have to carry that shame. And they just said she died for physical reasons or health reasons or whatever. But all his life he lived without a mommy, heroin addict. She left me in the street. Who knows that that carries complications up until the point that truth really takes hold and sets you free, right? So that, I understand the principle of going back, because people say, well, until they can get free. Well, the clearer you preach the gospel is the more hope of getting free, because truth makes you free. So the truth is, hey, your mom was hurting and didn't know what she was doing. It's no reflection on your value. You're worth the blood of the Son of God, and you're worth His death, your life. Your mom was hurt, and Jesus is Lord and knows who you are. Your mom couldn't see clear. But what we're saying is, I can't receive God's love because I was never loved. That's the biggest lie on the earth. No wonder we were never loved. Man fell out of love when he ate the fruit of the tree and became selfish. Come on, even some of our parents did their best and it was still very... You know, when you did right, you knew it. When you did wrong, you knew it. And when they corrected you, a lot of times it's because they had enough of you and they're about ready to set you straight. But yet they say, I love you. Just as quick, had enough of you. Ticked off. Come on, am I being real? And this stuff, it teaches us that there's a certain way, but it's not the way. Jesus is the way. This way is the way that seems right to man. It leads to death. So some of these situations, I get this knowledge. Why did I get that knowledge? Because the Spirit of God saw fit to come and break a stronghold of believing off of his life by a working of the Spirit of God. Without me searching, looking, because when you start searching and looking, I just told a sister on the break, I said, when you go opening doors, you might be amazed what answers. Yeah. When you're not called to open them.
Yeah.
Now that's a humbling thought right there. I've seen prophetic people get so free in the prophetic, free. That the door gets so big, anything comes through. It's all about Jesus. It's not about ministrations, manifestations. It's not about all this stuff. It's all about Jesus, His finished work, and the message He's brought. And the transformation that brings. Everything needs to flow through the eye of that needle. I was in rooms before where the so-called glory and the prophetic, and I could tell you stories absolutely bizarre. Because I ask God, I don't want to judge things, I don't want to be presumptuous, but you get in and you know, there's all kinds of things, and we laugh some of that stuff off and say, well, yeah, that's the move of God. I've been in rooms where there was strange fire, where the motives of the ministers were hurt and deception and need and insecurity. And the fire and the things that were happening had an appearance of God, but the effects and the long lasting. I had to clean up stuff over the years. The Bible talks about strange fire. When your motive's wrong, if I have a wrong motive and need to be here right now and I start projecting and I start ministering out of a wrong heart or a wrong place, who knows that I can expose you to stuff and junk and stuff. Not that you have to be overtaken by it. I could sit under anything in what I see and hear in that sense. It's not going to muddy me. But wonder if I'm speaking to people that are carrying hurts and insecurity, and now fire's fueling fire and wrong iron sharpening wrong iron, if you know what I'm saying. Now I become the support system and the cheerleader for somebody that needs transformation, not encouragement in a lie. Are you following me, or am I talking too general? Okay. It is a wow. I had a weird that thing happen to me years ago. I still don't totally understand it other than I learned obey Jesus. See, we think we have to explain everything and know everything. That's what makes Him God. There is a mystery to God in some things. That's what keeps Him God. So I don't need to know everything intellectually. But I know I was praying in a meeting and I was the authority of that meeting. And I turned it over to a lady who was prophesying. And I knelt at the altar and a man wrapped his arm around me, began to pray and like bless me. And I love people. Who's figured out that I love you guys? Okay. So when this guy's praying over me, he sounds like he means well. And the Lord said, stop him now. Well, I've never heard that in my life. I'm not afraid for you to pray over me. I know you can't this and that. But the Lord said, stop him now. And something. And there was just some impressions that you need to stop. Something's wrong. You need to look at him. And if I would have done that, who knows, the stuff that I don't understand now probably would have made sense then. You get what I'm saying? So I stand up. We're worshiping Jesus. And I turned it over to this prophetic gift, and there was things that were very accurate and prophetic because I was a pastor and I knew. But there was also this big door that was just so wide and caused a lot of confusion. Some people were laying there like they were manifesting and in bondage, and some people were laughing, and some people were sitting there going, what's going on? And you have that. You can have that just in the regular meeting when God's moving. But some people are concerned and leaving. But something in my spirit as an overseer didn't feel right. But I couldn't put my finger on it. Authority stuff. I don't understand. All I learned out of this is obey Jesus. I looked over. There's a man standing. And this might weird somebody out. I don't know what you're ready for. But there's a man standing there. And there was this thing with big long wings over his head. And it looked like a creature. It was hovering over him. And as soon as I saw it, I was like, what? It just disappeared. And I'm like, what was that? And the Lord talked to me about a subverting of authority in the meeting. And when this man did this, here it was the man. He said, that's the man that was praying over you and had his arm wrapped around. And when you didn't stop him and you agreed and received his blessing, there was some kind of integration of authority. There was something. When I turned it over to this person, this thing was intermingling in the atmosphere. It had a voice in the meeting. It's through my disobedience as an authority. The reason this thing came to me is because I was the head. I don't totally understand it. I've never even searched it out. Like I'm telling you, I'm a simple guy. What I learned by that stuff is obey Jesus. So I said, Lord, what is that? He said, that's the man that prayed for you. When you disobeyed me, there was a manipulation going on. If you'd really tracked his prayer, really, because I thought he was, you know, he's just blessing me. And when you agreed with everything, you handed over authority in this meeting. And I'm like, but my heart was pure. I love people. I'm not project. I told you to not let it happen. See, we have to understand a lot of times before we obey. Instead of... Now watch, this really happened to me. So either I'm nuts and I'm being really whacked on this stuff, or this really happened. So I leaned against the thing and this person's ministering and she comes over and there's some people that are... There's a lot of manifestations going on. And she goes, do you see the gold? Do you see it? It's everywhere. It's gold. And I'm like, no, I saw a devil. That's what I'm thinking. I'm like, I'm still thinking about this devil. I don't see any gold. She said, isn't it beautiful? Look, the altars are golden. To me, honestly, to me, at that point, when I looked at her and where I was at, and this, I'm thinking, that's all. It's getting flaky to me at that point. That's what I'm thinking. And I'm not saying that people can't have certain pictures and manifestations and see things. I'm just saying at that point in this atmosphere. So I said, Lord, what do I do? He said, you need to go take the authority back. Cast that thing out of the meeting. Cast that thing off of the man. And I'm like, I'm supposed to walk over to this guy and cast this thing off of this man. And who knows that I didn't do real well with that right now. Because I'm thinking there has to be another way. But Lord, if there's any other way, please. And it wasn't a nevertheless, your will be done. It was please. Because I looked over, he actually looked like just everybody else. I didn't think the guy even knew what was going on, is what I'm thinking. But motivations, things, you'd be amazed what attaches to motivations, insecurities, hurt, unforgiveness, pain. That stuff motivates people. And now you're living wounded. And your whole life you're trying to get things to lick that wound. And there's a festering. There's never a healing. It's just you're driven by the wound. Stuff attaches to that. And it's weird. I don't know what's going on with this guy. But I just know what I heard. So I'm sitting there. Now watch. This is exactly how it happened. I know something's wrong in the atmosphere. I love the people. And I say I love the people. But there I sit, knowing something's weird. The Lord said, you address this. I said, Lord, would you just please have mercy and let your glory come in this place? And I had been interceding a lot in that season. And the Lord said, you talked to me. Whoever talks stern to their children before, but you knew you didn't cross the line. It was just a serious thing and you were getting their attention, but you weren't mad at them, devaluing them. Who's ever talked stern and got serious like that as a parent? The Lord said, it shook me inside. Now you listen to me. I went, he said, you've been praying for my glory for 2 years straight now. I give you one simple assignment and here you sit. Now you go cast that thing out of that man. And my glory will come in the room and things will realign and get clear. And you will see my glory. But you obey me. I went, yes, sir. I went right to that guy. Now, when I got there, I felt a little funny. Here's the guy. He's standing there. He's like this. I don't know what that means. Now that I have this knowledge, I could think, he's in some kind of meditation. He's releasing demonic spirits. I could have got real weird with it. Yeah. All I know is I love that guy. He's made an image of God. I'm not caught up. I just want him helped. I'm not mad at him. He's not my enemy. And he doesn't need booted out of the meeting. So I tapped him. I said, hey, man, let me ask you a question. Hey, sorry to disturb you. I need to. Did you come up and wrap your arm around me and pray for me? Because I never looked up before the meeting. Were you the one? Yes, yes. I said, oh, okay. I said, listen, man, I just got some revelation from the Lord. And I don't know if this sounds strange, but I need to do something. And I said, there's something tracking with you, man, and it ain't good. I don't even know if you know it. It's demonic. And when I said that, he gave it away. The spirit gave it away that was with. He looked at me and got this weird smile on his face and he went to hug me. And I realized, whoa, this is just. It is just because I knew he was trying to, like, get past what I'm saying. Because it was exposed. And then I just confidence came in me and this is just how it happened. I said, no, no, sir, we're not doing that right now. I pushed it and I just said, come out of him. And I stuck my fingers right in his belly. When I said come out of him, you would have thought I shot him with like a .44 Magnum. He just went onto the floor. There's a man back here starts bawling uncontrollably. I said, why are you crying? Do you know him or are you crying? He said, I've never seen him. No, I don't know him. I said, why are you crying? He said, I'm crying for him. I said, why? He said, I don't know. I just feel so much compassion for him. I said, man, get up here. Hover over him. Kneel over him and pray for him. He said, okay. It's a full grown man. He's not one of you ladies that get like you get sometimes. I love it. This is one of us guys.
Praise the Lord, brother. Amen. Praise the Lord.
No.
What's going on with you? Man, cry over him.
I got up front. Things happened, got clear. There was good things, good testimonies. Prophecy went into a real good realm. Things cleared up, just like God said. I don't have the details to all that. I didn't try to open the door to a bunch of theology. Not even looking for any answers. I know I learned to obey Jesus. Sometimes you get a door so big, and because of things that motivate, it can get weird. Let's keep our hearts pure, walk in love, and obey Jesus. And we never have to live in fear. Amen? Amen. So, I don't know how I got on all that, but we got on all that today. I want to show you something in 1 Corinthians 3. I want to put scripture to this thing that I've been crying out here. Especially it's videoed, I understand, and I've addressed it. And you guys even mentioned names and types of ministry. So, this thing is out there, man. Gee. Not mad at people. I'm just not real encouraged in a lot of the things we're doing. I had somebody come up to me on the break and tell me they were told in this session of ministry of something that happened to them when they were like one and they have no knowledge and it wasn't good information. I promise you, that's not Jesus. Jesus is not putting a hurdle on the track of your identity. If old things are passed away, He is not disclosing information you had no knowledge of and tempting you with having to handle that now. He's life and life more abundantly. He's not, well, when you were one, this happened. I know it seems intense, but deal with it. I love you. Why does he have to bring that up? Isn't God bigger than that? He just make it like it never happened because he makes it like you never sinned. So why can't he make it as if you were never sinned against? Does he make it as if you've never sinned? Then I bet he makes it as if you've never been in the world of sin. If he takes away the effects of your sin, why wouldn't he take away the effects of sin against you? That's why you're called to forgive everyone. Jesus is not taking you back beyond understanding. I've heard a lot of weird stuff. I heard I was locked in a closet while my dad beat my mom. How old were you? I don't know. I don't remember. I just got revealed through a session. I got beat raw with a leather belt for pulling a green tomato from my daddy's tomato stalk. And that's why I can't receive the love of the Father, because it puts such a bad image of a father in me. How old were you? I don't remember it happening. I just know that they saw it in prayer. I could tell you a lot of stories because I've done a lot of interviews. I've took my time and I've talked to a lot of folks. Even the ones that said they were really helped. I really looked at the fruit in their life in the sense of not judging them myself, asking them how their life lived has changed rather than an emotional experience they're relating to. How has their fruitfulness in life changed? And you'd be amazed how there were very little answers in that category. Just relating to a ministerial time and experience and a rush of peace that's rare. So it's a highlight in their life because I felt God. Look, I've done some homework. And you got to understand that for 5 years, I didn't even know this thing was out there. And then for 5 years, I've done homework. And then I had all these experiences that I'm sharing with you. I'm not saying that God hasn't worked any good through any of this. I'm not saying it's the devil. I'm saying we're putting our identity in limbo. We're trying to get there through senses, and we're not increasing faith. That's what I'm saying. And here's what else we're doing based on Adam's comments in the break. We're making it very difficult to minister, and we're creating a big list of do's. And we're creating a reason why things can, and we're blocking the freedom of the flow of the Spirit through wrong understanding. Do you follow what I'm saying? Let me show you. What's up, Linda?
Are you saying that not only does Jesus take away sins, but the effects of sins?
Absolutely. Linda's saying, are you saying that Jesus doesn't only take away sin, but the effects of sin? Absolutely. He takes away sin and the effects of sin, whether it's what we've reaped because of sin. That's redemption. His blood was shed to forgive the act of sin. His body was given to remove the effects of sin. That's why he had to give his body, and it was so brutally beaten beyond description. Because when sin got done with us in the garden, we didn't look anything like his image, and we were created to be. So Jesus came and lost his appearance so we could get our identity back. Come on, it's so simple. He died for us. He gave his life so we can have life. He became what we were so we could become what he is, sons. It's the gospel. It's not a prayer to go to heaven. That's the American way. It's the transformation of life. So watch, the effects of sin. I'll get you in a minute, Brian. Watch this, the effects of sin. So watch, how does the unjust way. I used Jesse in the break as an example. Where's Jesse? Where are you, Jesse? Did he walk out? Because I used him as an example. He's hurt and offended. Where is he? Okay. Well, let me use him again. I said, so Jesse. Jesse's so cool. I said, so Jesse's in my life growing up, and he's the bully. And Jesse bullies me my whole childhood, my whole school years. I was intimidated. Who knows, bullying can be a terrible, traumatic, terrible thing. And you face fear every day and you go to school and the guy bullies you. I had actually one of them in my life. And he'd offend me and he'd embarrass me and he'd do it in front of people. And I knew he was bigger and stronger than me. And a couple times I contemplated sneaking up behind him with a baseball bat and taking one good swing. And I thought, well, it's not worth spending the rest of the time in detention, juvenile, in prison. Because I wanted to kill him. Because I thought the only way to get rid of him is kill him. Because he was bullying me. Well, so I got Jesse in my life and he's bullying me and I'm mad and I'm hurt and I'm angry. I'm intimidated. I'm threatened. I'm envious. I wish I was as cool as him. And I wish I wasn't such a geek and he wouldn't be able to pickle me. I wish I was bigger and badder. Why wasn't I more this and that? And all these complications come because of one young man in my life that has enough of his own issues. Needs for this. Watch. Now watch. Watch how the gospel changes the effects of sin against you. Guess how it does it? Changes your eye, your perspective. Watch this. So now I get born again. I haven't seen Jesse for 5, 7, 10 years. And I'm born again. And all before I was born again, man, thank God I finally graduated. That's why I haven't seen Jesse for 5, 7, 10 years. Because I'm on the other side of the planet. I don't want to see Jesse. You get what I'm saying? But I'm born again now. Watch what happens when I'm born again, when I understand why I'm born again. If I'm just saved for me, if I'm just saved for blessings, if I'm just saved for prosperity, if I just incorporate God into my life in hopes of a better life, then nothing changes where Jesse's concerned. He still has the same resume, and thank God those days are over. But if I understand why I'm saved and my heart becomes selfless, I understand love now. I realize that God loved me in the midst of all my perversities, wrong motives, wrong ways, self-pursuit, selfish living. All of a sudden I see and realize, oh my gosh, Jesse's as lost or as lost as I've ever been too. That's why he was the way he was. Jesse's been a hurting young man and that hurt was breeding onto me like a cancer and producing the effects of his fallen nature. Boom, boom, boom. Yeah. All of a sudden I realize he's worth the blood of Jesus. Oh, now I have a school reunion coming up and I hear Jesse's going to be there. And instead of going, oh my God, I'm not even going because if he's there, he'll just make fun of me. He'll bully me. No, I want to go. I want to see Jesse. I want to see how he's doing. I hope things have changed. I hope he knows truth. But I know one thing. I have a heart for Jesse because if he knew who he was and he knew who I was, he wouldn't have lived the way he did all his school life. And I hope he's changed. All of a sudden, no matter what he did to me is null and void because I died to myself. So he has nothing now to offend. I see through a whole different view and eye. Jesse is not alive for me. I'm alive for Jesse. Sounds like Christ. I didn't come to be served. I came to serve. See, that's why works and religion is such a lie. Jesus became like a man. God died for his man. Religion says, die for your God. God died for his man. Come on, that's just awesome. And it changes things. You can't just incorporate him in and in hopes of a better future and thank God for heaven. It's the transformation of life. It's making my eye brand new. I scream it out all the time. I'm screaming it now. I scream it out all the time because it's the truth of the gospel. So the sins that Jesse committed against me are rendered irrelevant and void and as if they never happened with no effect because God's changed me and the eye I look through and the needs I have and where I live from. All of a sudden, Jesse has nothing to touch, push, or hurt in me anymore. Why? Because I love him now. And the worse off he is, the more compassion would flow. The more I pray in secret, where sin abounds, grace abounds. Why? Because it just reveals how in trouble people are. Not trouble to us, in trouble. Why is it so easy to cry because of people instead of cry for people? Because we are in it for ourselves at some degree. And it's how people are affecting us instead of how we love them. And if God was an ounce that way, he'd have never sent his son. Because we'd have crossed the line somewhere. But love takes no account of a suffered wrong. Why? Because it doesn't seek its own. And yet here we are Christians, full of rights, offenses, and reasons to be the way we are. We have a main wonderful reason to be like him. Amen? So, yeah, does that answer your question, Linda? You ask me good questions. You really pull my cord. Jeez, I feel like one of them pull cord puppets, you know. You pull it out about a mile with one of them questions. You just... Brian.
There we go. Yeah. In light of what Linda was asking, I always read Isaiah 53:4 that way, where it says, "Surely our griefs he himself bore and our sorrows he carried," that it wasn't just our sins, it was also the things done to us.
Absolutely.
The things that we call our pain aren't your pain anymore. It doesn't
right.
even belong to you. He bore that as well.
Right.
It wasn't just what you did.
Absolutely. But here's how we define that sometimes. We think it's a mystical breathing of God's Spirit on us to where we don't hurt anymore. That's what we think it is. That's why we're always ministering. It's a change of perspective. If you can change the eye I look through, you can take away the pain. You can breathe on me and take away pain supernaturally. Who knows, God can breathe and take away pain and stuff. But if he doesn't change the mode of the eye I'm looking through, more pain's coming. Hello? Did you get this? So am I asking him to breathe on my life so that I'm not just the tormented, abused, unfortunate child that I was in my horror story? And yeah, but you don't know what I've been through. Well, you weren't in my shoes. And now I'm projecting my story above everybody else's because it's become me. See, it's not God breathing on that and making it all go away. It's changing the I and the understanding that allows it to be so painful. In the world, you have tribulation. But in me, you have peace, Jesus said. So be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Well, if he's saying what it sounds like he's saying, why do we ever even have a trial then? Why is there adversity? It says, I'll be with you in trouble, not keep you from trouble. So if I've overcome the world, in the world yet, well, I must be living in the world then, brother, because I got plenty of trouble. No, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Well, if you've overcome the world, why do I have trouble? That's what the Christian mind can think and almost get mad at God. To say, if you love me, why am I going through this? You say you love me, then how come? Well, why? Don't you see what's going on down here? Hello? That's a misunderstood relationship in mind towards God. That's a very self-centered mindset that's even accosting God, judging Him, subpoenaing Him here, finding Him guilty. Come on, it's a lack of understanding that even allows us to think that way. If He's overcome the world, and we should be of good peace and be of good cheer because He's overcome the world, what's He talking about? He's changed my perspective on life. By coming and living the truth in love. Because if anybody had a reason to be a mess, broken, rejected, hurt, it would have been Jesus. Who was ever treated more unjustly in human history than the Son of God in the flesh? Who was ever crucified and killed more unjustly than Jesus Christ? Who was ever more pure, more holy, and more sincere ever, more sincere than Jesus? But persecuted, blasphemed against, mocked, gossiped about, and ultimately killed for what he wasn't. Come on, that is sure a good day to be broken, bruised, and need ministry in our lives. If somebody calls our good bad, we are toast. And we are fighting like a cat in the corner to prove we really are good and meant good. And how can you call my good bad? And I can't believe that. Well, you're straight from the pit of hell. You should be able to see better. If you had any discernment, you would know. And all of a sudden, you become what you're saying they are. Are you following me?
Yes.
I'll show you a couple of scriptures, and I am really provoking hands right now. Go ahead, Kimberly. I'll get you, PJ.
This is just in response to what Brian just said. If you go further, it says he was pierced for our transgressions and crushed for our iniquities. One version says he was wounded and bruised. And someone brought it to my attention. Wound is an outside cut. Bruise is inside. And after I heard that message, I actually bruised really easily. And all the time I had bruises. I would get bruises from bee stings.
Right.
And my husband said after that, this was at one of our house church meetings, he said, Kimberly, you hold on to, like, the things from your past. And, just for an example, not because I'm living in this anymore, but just from, like, people in my own family that weren't excited for my wedding.
Stuff like that.
I was holding on to that. And as soon as I identified with that, in that small revelation, I don't bruise like that anymore. I don't carry bruises on my body because it's a physical manifestation of what's going on in the spiritual.
Right. And it's a perspective change. How can you not hold on to that anymore? By changing the way you see it and the way you view it. We make it such a big deal that 20 years later, we remember who wasn't excited on my wedding day, my most important day. Instead of putting it in right perspective, understanding the soul of people, the expectations I have over them, how I'm set up to be disappointed because of what I put on people, So Jesus comes and gets bruised, gets wounded, takes the penalty, the suffering that we've all experienced for sin, and puts it on himself to take it away. Is it a mystical, mysterious breath of God thing, or is it a change of view transformed from self to love? Do you get it? Because I can stand here and think of my childhood and remember my past to a T, and it does a totally different thing in my heart than it would have before the gospel. Because now I can look and see, man, if people in my life knew Jesus like we're preaching now, if people saw who they were, things would have been different. Here's a good way Todd shares with people when they're hurt. He says, I understand they said that. No, I understand. See, we're not making light of it. But we don't want you to focus there. So here's what Todd will say. I've heard him say this. It's wisdom. It's from the Lord. He says, listen. He says, I know how you have to be feeling because you're expressing it. And I know they did that. And I'm not trying to make light. But let me ask you a question. If they were filled with Holy Spirit and walking in the love of God, would they have said the things they said and did the things they did? And they're like, well, no. Well, then see, your problem isn't flesh and blood. Your war's not flesh and blood. Those people you're mad at, you could cry for because there's things they don't see and don't know. It's not even who they are. So if it's not who they are, how can they treat you for who you are? I mean, come on. The reason a husband can't love his wife, it says, is because he doesn't love himself. So the wife gets hurt and offended because the husband's not loving me the way he should. Instead of going, wow, he has identity crisis and deficit and he's seeing himself for less than he is. I'm going to show him the truth of the beauty of who he is instead of get hurt by his lack. Amen. Because that's love. Or we could call it irreconcilable differences and, hey, she's not 50-50, it's more 60-40 and I'm tired and I want to find a 50-50 instead of a 60-40. That's what we can do. I'm not being mean. I'm being real. We can do that. I understand some things have fallen apart, and I think realize some things have gotten really bad, and some people went through things they wish they never went through. What I'm saying is you have a choice in where you stand in that equation. You can be a product of somebody's lack, or you can be a product of what Jesus revealed. Are you following me?
Yeah.
You can rationally, psychologically assess a marriage and you can say, well, yeah, but if my spouse was this and that, well, no wonder I feel this way because they're supposed to be this. I've seen wives do it and I've seen husbands do it. Wives will say, well, I'm tired of being the head. I always have to take the reins and they're supposed to rise up and take the... And I wasn't created to be the head and I wish they... And now they just have an issue. They have a chip on their shoulder. And every time their husband expresses a lack of spirituality, their heart gets harder, their resume gets more defined, and they find a little circle of friends that have the same kind of husbands and they support one another in that lie. Come on. And men can do the same things. It can be on the sexual side with men a lot of times because that's one of the biggest lies and ruts in men's lives. And yeah, my wife's not. Well, I wish my wife was like your wife. That's a scary statement. Because what you're saying is I'm envying you and I'm actually I'm coveting your wife. Because my wife, she doesn't even want it. And I wish she wanted it. Well, no wonder I'm this way because she never even, I don't even feel like a man half the time. Huh? And now you got a chip and an issue, and then you talk to people, and then you start disdaining your wife instead of loving your wife. You're fault-finding, you're pointing out her weaknesses and exploiting, and you're feeding the fire of self-centeredness and remaining a selfish man in the name of the Lord. There, I gave a good one for men and women. I'm not a biased fellow. I'm after truth. You follow me? Come on, I'm talking straight up. Now listen, when I'm talking these straight up things, you can't get away from it. You can hear it's true down in your heart. How are you going to argue around? Where are you going to hide from what I'm saying? How are you going to come up with one yell button excuse without being found in the flesh? Come on. So you want to preach the gospel to where it sounds like a weak thing to say, yeah, but you don't know how I feel, but that hurts me. Oh, that's the problem. Why are you so touchy? Yeah. because you're not seeing through love. It's like Pastor Don shared that example about the lady coming saying, I wish you'd pray for my husband that God would touch him so he'd quit pushing my buttons. And Pastor took her hands and started to pray to God to take all the buttons out of her life to push. Father, I ask you to touch her now and just take all the buttons out of her so there's nothing to push, God. See, because her focus is what's wrong with her husband instead of the heart she's living from. Because now all you're doing is saying, change my husband for my sake. And now that your husband's changed, you're still living for your sake. So you're still in a mess. So now the whole world revolves around you. And if things ain't going your way, you ain't okay. Oh, selfish, selfish, selfish. Deny your... Pick up your... And follow Jesus. Don't sing to Him. Don't pray to Him. Don't read about Him. I mean, you can do all that. But please be sure to follow Him. Because anything else is religious tradition. And it's the form of God without the power of God, which means a transformed life. He says denying, it doesn't mean the power, meaning the dunamis supernatural dead raising power. It's the power of godliness.
Yeah, come on.
See, there's people deceived and they're walking in a form of God, of godliness, denying the power thereof. The power thereof of what? Not the resurrection power, the power of godliness. The power of a transformed life, because these things are still accepted in their heart as if we're just mere men instead of His children. And we make acceptance for pain and hurt and bitterness because we fault find and we so fix on what's wrong that it makes us right. And we all perish in the midst. God isn't right. If He was right, we're wrong. God was righteous and now we're in. You following me? Do you hear how I always go back to that stuff? Back to love, back to love, back to love, back to love. So that's, yeah. Well, you could tell this fasting thing was just kind of a good, slight kind of idea, but it sure wasn't a reality, was it? I have two scriptures. I'm backing up to where we were with some of this past stuff, some of the stuff we've talked about, okay? Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 3. I want you to see this. This is scriptural. This is amazing.
This is really good.
Oh my, verse 18. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age... Wise in this age. Let him become a fool that he may become wise. I've learned a long time ago that you're not going to identify me through the fall of man. You're not going to identify my anatomy, my age, what I'm prone and subject to because of man's experience. We have observed fallen man and identified ourselves. When I turned 40, I started getting things in the mail. You are now over 40. You are more prone to this than ever before. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I'm like, ah! That's crazy. You know what I do with it? Well, I do. I do plunk it. But watch what I do. I do this. I read it and I just kind of snicker. I laugh. Not in a mocking way. I just like in a relief. I'm lighthearted. I go, God, what would I do without the gospel, without you? Without you transforming me and showing me truth and who I really am, I'd probably believe this. I'd probably be subject to this. I start crumbling it. Thank you for your amazing love and redemption. I just appreciate the goodness of God in my life. And I'll use that as an opportunity to worship and proclaim truth. You hear me? I will. Because if I don't do that, guess what? Guess what? You get to be 50, and then this and that, and your buddy says, oh man, that's what happened to me when I was 50. That's right about the time when I started feeling that. You know, that's when they say this, and that's when they say, who is they? It's human experience. Apart from the finished work. I tell people I'm going to be a living epistle of this. You can hear me arrogant or what, but I'm going to be a living epistle of that topic right there. I don't believe degeneration, breakdown, wear out. I believe we run our course, fulfill the will of God, and we can pass on and be with Him, and prophesy over our family, and do all that. I don't believe I don't believe it's the way we say it is. I'm just telling you. There's stuff like, I'm a runner. I've been running for years. People say, well, you shouldn't run so much, you'll wear out your knees. That's in some other kingdom. God didn't make me to wear out my knees. Well, yeah, but you don't understand. I'm on cement all day, but I work hard. But it is that belief right there. You're giving yourself permission to fall apart. I've worked for 15 years on the cement, working very hard. I jog on the roads and the trails. I don't have a pain in my body. Am I a super Christian? It's a simple belief system thing. I run as fast as I ran when I was 33. I just ran 6 miles the other day, 6.5-minute miles, and felt like, I'm coming down the straightaway at the trail, and I'm worshiping Jesus and thanking Him for the capacity and just the health and just, and I'm actually freaking out in the woods. Father, I just thank You! And I'm running, and the more I worship, the faster I run.
Yeah.
You're like, dude, you're delusional. It's just an emotional whirlwind. When you come off of that thing, you're going to be in pain. Well, I've been riding that cloud for 16 years. It ain't popped yet. Let's just keep riding. See, I had a friend tell me that once. Dude, you're getting into emotion. You know, when that thing comes down, man, you're like, when that thing pops, you're going to be, it's just, I'm so waiting for the worst, aren't we? And then we've been so hurt and so this, and we've seen the misuse of a lot of things, so we think what I'm talking is hypo-spiritual, out of balance, out of context, and then we're like, that's just pride and that's just crazy. You got to face reality, brother. We're either one extreme or the other. Why can't we just be in the happy middle of God's grace? Because if what everybody was saying about me, the way I live and do things and... Some of you ain't hunters, and I understand some of you don't like hunting. I'm not trying to be gross with that. You ask Rusty and Melissa. It was a thing of worship for him. Just watching me just hunt and the stuff I do. I shot a deer at their place. They don't live on mountains. They live on cliffs. They live on cliffs. So the first deer I shot was demon possessed. Because instead of just dying and letting me have dominion, it ran to the cliff and died on the edge of the cliff. And it went to the bottom. And I said, that was not the will of the Lord. When I got to that deer, I looked up. I said, man, it's getting dark. I called Rusty just to show you how the mountains are. It took him 25 minutes to get to me in his car. The next night, I get this other deer. It went 10 steps and fell over, and I said, that's Jesus right there. He stood back up and said, it's the same devil. Ran that thing across the flat, and it just went, and it wasn't dead. It was running, and it ran off the cliff. I come down out of my tree. I went over there. I'm like, no way. I get down there, and you know what I said? I said, I ain't calling Rusty to come the whole way around again. And it's early. It was early. I had 2 hours to wait till dark. I thought, I'm getting this thing out of here. I took the bottom of my tree stand down there, tied the deer in a ball as tight as I could, and put it on my back, and went right back up to the house.
Wow.
And when Rusty got there, I'm standing there, and you couldn't tell I did that. Now, I'm 49. Now, most people that are 30 would say you couldn't do that. It's all here. It's all in your belief. It's not. I'm not trying to say, hey, I'm some buffed and healthy man. I don't have a grid for certain things, so I don't experience them. Are you following me? That's all I'm saying. And they watched me do certain things there. And of course, you can condition yourself and get sick. But there's certain things like that, because I was like, I know some of you don't understand hunting and all that, but Jesus helps me. He tells me sometimes, stand up, you better get ready. You know, hey, quit worshiping me for a minute and just... So be like, Buck's rubbing my tree. Father. The tree I'm sitting in, you know. No, I didn't see anything today. I saw the Lord. He was high and lifted up. His train filled the temple. You didn't see no deer? No. Go down, your tree's all rubbed. So he's like... Hey, I'll be back. Whop! Oh, God. I was hunting turkeys last year. Here I am on this. I was just going to wrap up at the end of the week on something, right? Different. I'm hunting turkeys last year. I walk 12 miles average when I hunt turkeys in the mountains. Big mountains, a lot of rocks, a lot of stuff. I'm hunting hard. I don't hear a turkey gobble the whole day. It's 9 o'clock. 10 to 9, 7 minutes to 9, and I'm 7 miles from the car. And I'm thinking, well, I probably better head. I had a friend in the woods. He was down 7 miles at the car. He's going to meet me. I thought, I better head to the car now. If I'm going to make it, I'm going to go this way. Jesus said, no, don't go that way. Go out this way till 9 o'clock and call from the flat, and you'll hear a turkey out there. Jesus said that. So he's with me when I'm hunting. So people just have different ideas with hunting. But to me, it was fun. I stopped. I got tears in my eyes in the middle of Dauphin County Mountains. Tears in my eyes. And I said, are you kidding me? That's your voice. I know your voice now. I'm thinking this way. In my mind, thinking, go this. He says, go this way. I said, I haven't heard a turkey all day so far. And you're telling me to go out. You're hunting turkey with me. Seriously, that's what I was doing. I had tears in my eyes. I get out there. It's 2 minutes till 9. And I'm thinking, I'm so excited to call because I'm sure this turkey's going to gobble. And I'm thinking, I just got to call from here. And the Lord said, no, no, 9 o'clock. Well, if you go to hunt turkey, terrain, mountains, voice, sound, carry, you got to be in the right place sometimes. I said, okay, you said 9. I walked. I'm being disciplined. I wait till 9. It's not like when I'm preaching. I didn't wait till 20 after 9. I waited right till 9 because I was excited. I stopped at 9 o'clock. I take my little mouth call. You're kidding me. I was amazed by that. I was amazed by that. I'm just thinking in my mind what I'm going to do. And he says in my spirit, no, don't do that. Go out this way. Just go out that way till 9 o'clock. You'll find one out there. And I'm like, so there's just a neat thing about that. I just got in. I just wanted to tell you that I know people don't like certain things about hunting, but it's, I'm not out there to kill. There's just something about it. And we utilize everything, by the way. You know, Bill has fun with that. Bill Johnson. Whoever heard Bill Johnson? He says, are you kidding? I love animals right next to the mashed potatoes. I'm like, Bill, you can't say that. But he says it. Do you?
I just want to add too that the Holy Spirit does that. He built our relationship, Anthony's and mine, our marriage, through what we call left and right. Okay, we started out in a relationship, getting in the car, and he'd say, "Okay, Holy Spirit, which way?" And I would hear left. He would ask the question, I would hear right. I'd hear name of a road. Or he'd speak in tongue, I'd get the interpretation, name of a place to go. And he built our relationship, and he's built our marriage like that. And I can't help but say,
asking, like, hearing.
My heart is so palpitating right now. Yeah. I've got this. If I hush the mountains, will cry out. If you allow Holy Spirit, Daddy God, Jesus, to do what you were just explaining in Turkey, what we just explained with the car and a relationship, it will so change a marriage.
Every aspect.
It'll
of
change
your life.
Every aspect.
Because you live with Him.
Amen.
He's with you. Right? So that's the point of what she's saying. I want you to see this quick. I can wrap this up. I can do this quick. I want you to see these two scriptures. I got like 5, 6 minutes. Oh my God. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool. So there's an absolute conversion of knowledge. There's actually a 180 from the way that seems right to man, the way that's in God. So people that are wise in this age need to become a fool. Do you see the dramatic change of the two forms of wisdom? So you could have tons of worldly wisdom and be somebody in worldly wisdom, and God says, but you need to become a fool because that's not my wisdom. That's amazing. We're not conformed to the world, transformed by the renewing of our mind. The Bible says be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now watch. Let him become a fool, then he become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. Therefore, now Paul's writing all this to give glory to God, point to him as the source of all, the source of life, the source of wisdom. Because in the beginning of the chapter, there was some sectarianism going on. People were saying, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas. And he's like, whoa, what are you guys doing? We're all of Christ. And thank God for teachers He's placed in your life. But stop. Don't let it become weird. And you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Right? And comparison. And yeah, well, at our church, man. Well, do you have this going on in your church? Because, man, God's been this and that. I've seen that with Christians. Comparison. And, well, my pastor this, or I'm this, or I go to this home group. Well, do you know who they are? Well, blah, blah, blah. Ah, here's what Paul's saying. Let no one boast in men, for all things are yours. Come on. Why would you boast in men when it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom? Get your eyes bigger. Watch this. Whether it's Paul, Apollos, Cephas, these are the things that are yours. Whether it's the teachers God's blessed you with and surrounded you with, whether it's the churches He's raised up for you to attend and be a part of, whether it's whatever it is. Here, watch this list. Whether it's the world, He just gave you the world, or life or death. Doesn't He have the power over him who had the power over death? Didn't Jesus win that battle? Are we ever going to die? Did He even tell us that there's a place for us to grow in the Spirit to even raise the... So He gave us the power of life through His finished work, through resurrection power, through the cross. And He gave us the power of life and the power of what? Over death. So we're never going to die. Whether that means raising the dead or the fact that you and I are never going to die, we have victory there, right? Now watch this. So that's yours through Christ. Or things what? Present. Or things to... come, dash, all are... What an amazing list. Whether you're teachers, the world, life or death, things present, things to come, it's all yours. Now watch. And you are Christ, and Christ is God. So that means you're God. What's not on that list? Guess what's not yours? It's not on the list. Why? He remembers it no more. He washed it away. We put off the old and put on the new. Why would He remind you of yesterday when He wiped it off the chalkboard? The Bible says it's not on the list. Paul's expecting us to know that. We don't have a former. We have a present and things to come. Go to Romans 8 real quick. I'm trying to wrap this up. Oh, I got 3 minutes. I can do this quick. Go to Romans 8, quick. I'm going to read even if you're not there. Who shall separate us, verse 35, from the love of Christ? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword? As it is written, all questions, right? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than... conquerors, no matter what we're facing, no matter what we're going through, the perilous, the famine, the nakedness, the sword, we're more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Why? Because truth's holding us. Our perspective's changed. We know what's true now. Now watch. Paul's writing and he's just escalating. For I am persuaded. Man, this is Paul's profession right now. Watch this. I am persuaded that neither death nor life. See, he's starting to go through a list. You'll find that it's kind of similar, but a little more extensive than the other list. The other list was the world, life and death, your teachers, the world, life and death, present and things to come. This list says whether life nor death, angels, principalities, powers, things present, things to come, height, depth, nor any other thing. So he just makes it nothing. Shall be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So what can keep us from the love of God? Nothing except what's not on the list. The past can absolutely keep you from receiving the love of God. And if you're dwelling there, you're not being loved by Him. And if you're dwelling there, you're finding reasons why you're not loved and not lovable and not loving and not lovely. What's not on the list, guys, that has the total ability to separate you from the love of God, even though God loves you. Even though God loves you, right? Dwelling in the past can totally keep you from receiving that love. He's talking about what shall separate us. Nothing. None of these things. Why isn't the past on the list? Because it's not to be on the list. It's not on the list. He says, not even the things that are happening to me now, nothing I'm going to go through in the future can keep me from being loved by God, because He set the record straight, because in this we were loved. He sent His Son. Did you get that? Becky's not the only one that got that, right? Okay, because Becky got that. Come on. Life, death, present, things to come. Nothing shall separate. The past isn't on the list. That's an automatic. That should be a given. He delivered us from and sealed us in and to. It's the only thing that has the ability to cause you to struggle receiving love. Looking over your shoulder. Letting anything else matter now that Christ has come. Now do you see why the just shall live by? Some of these ministries, we have to be careful. We're actually feeding sensuality and teaching people to live by how they feel instead of what we believe. Are you following me? Okay. I'm 2 minutes late. Stand to your feet. Let's pray. Let's just ask God to seal this in us. And was that my water? Yes. Living water. Thank you for water. Natural knowledge, man. Don't let it eat your lunch. Let spiritual truth. I was teasing. I was telling Josh, you know, I go up in their mountains. I'd be with somebody that doesn't understand like I do. And we're walking through the mountains. And you say you're hot, you're thirsty. You already drank your water. And there's this big mountain, and here's water pouring out from the rock. It's like that. People are like, oh my God, you drink that? And all that stuff. I'm telling you, there's people freak out over that stuff. I'm like, there's God's filter, the mountain. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and I'm His kid, and we got so much natural knowledge that you don't have the faith. If you don't have the faith, don't drink the water, because then you're tempting your own self. But don't fuss me and tell me I'm going to die premature because I drank it. That's what we do. Man, He put that water there for me today. He knew I was thirsty. That's just how I see it. It is fear-based. That doesn't mean you're tempting God. That doesn't mean you take a bottle of cyanide. Well, if I drink any deadly thing, it won't hurt me. Dead. Because that's not what He's talking about. He's not talking about testing and tempting the Lord. Well, if you are His son, jump off. God will catch you and bear you up before you dash your foot against it. That's not, no. Man, I ain't testing God. I believe God. I don't have to test God. I believe God. Why would I test Him if I believe Him? If I'm testing Him, I'm saying I don't believe Him, and I'm trying to see if He's true. Come on. It's simple. Father, we just thank You for Your Word today. If you want to, stretch your hands to Him. It's just a sign of yielding to Him. That's from your heart. You don't have to if you want to. Just do that right now. If not, that's fine. I'm not even opening my eyes. It doesn't matter to me. It's just sometimes it just feels good to me to just yield and stretch my hands, especially when you're not looking. And just say, Father, I love You. Father, I thank You. I worship You. A little child reaches their hands up to Daddy because they trust Daddy. Pick me up, Daddy. I want to be close. I want to be in Your arms. So, Father, I just reach my hands up to You. I yield to You. I submit to You. I thank You for the truth of the gospel. Continue to enlighten us. Open our understanding. Thank You, Lord God, for the blessing of truth upon our understanding. Thank You for the transformation of life, the change of mode, of heart, perspective. Every person in this place, every person online, Father, I thank You. As this day unfolds and this weekend unfolds, we're going to be in many diversities of places, things, trials, tests, and just life itself. Thank You that these truths come to our rescue, to our understanding, and to manifestation. Father, I thank You that if we see different in any other thing, even You, Holy Spirit, would be there revealing the heart of Jesus in all things so that we can be truly the embodiment of Christ, the body of Christ, the expression of You on the earth. Thank You for Your grace and favor. In Jesus' name we pray and bless You, Lord. Amen.